We thank the Lord for such an amazing day. We thank God because we are able to be here today. I'm standing too far. There we go. And today is Father's Day, as you all know. And how many of us believe that we have the best father in the world, that is our Lord? I'll tell you, church, as I was getting into this message and allowing the Lord to speak to me, I said, Father God, there's just so much that I can say. I can't wrap what you mean to me in just one verse or in one preaching. But one of the best attributes of our Father is His love and mercy for us. And as we go dive into the Word, we're going to be in John chapter 8, verse 1 and on. And we read the Word in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis to accuse him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the oldest one first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. First, Church of God, if we understand this passage, there is the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and the love of God all wrapped in one. For she was guilty. This woman had sinned. This woman was filthy in the eyes of man, a worthless woman that deserved to be stoned. But through the love and the mercy of God, shown through Jesus Christ, He gave this woman forgiveness. Now this morning, I want you to know, beloved church, that our Father that is in heaven loves us so much that God will always make a way for us to be able to reach forgiveness. He loves us so much that He gave His only Son to prove that through Him we can receive salvation. God loved us, His children, His creation, so much that even though His Son was innocent, through no fault of His own, He died and shed His blood for us. Now, I don't know about you, church, but there is no greater act of love than that. I can tell you this morning that if it wasn't for the love of God, I wouldn't be standing here today. I can tell you this morning that if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I wouldn't even been alive today. I can tell you this morning, church, that all of us here, if it wasn't for the love of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be here today. Whether you are a new Christian, whether you are an old Christian, seasoned Christian, whatever you want to call yourself, through the love of God is that we're able to persevere and survive. There is nothing else that can be said. But thank you to God for his love and his mercy. And today, as it is Father's Day, women that are here, your husband deserves a nice steak. Yes? Anything over medium, you're crazy. You'll be chewing till Mother's Day. No. But mothers that are here, honor. Or women that are here, honor your husbands. We have long days. And most of us work. And those that don't, maybe you're retired or you're in between jobs. But there's a lot of responsibilities on our shoulders as men and as husbands. There's a lot of pressure on us. And pressure that only we know. Pressure that we make sure that our wives don't know, that our kids don't know. You think that we want to be out of the home 10, 12, 15 hours a day? We don't. But we know that this is what we have to do to make sure that our family can be sustained, to make sure that we give a good life to our family, to make sure that our wife and our kids are taken care of. We work long hours. We don't want to come home and hear how we didn't throw out the trash, how we this, how we that. We want to receive love from our wife and our kids. And just like I laid the hammer down on the husbands on Mother's Day, you know, it's the wife's turn to take a little bit, right? Everybody's like, I want to eat today. But I'm going to tell you this. As women that you are, you need to understand that you have a lot of power in your hands. And I'm not saying power to run the house. No, I'm saying you can speak life into your husbands. You can encourage them to be a better version of themselves. And if you didn't know this, that's the job that God gave you, to support your husbands, to speak life into them, to motivate them. I'm going to tell you something. I consider myself the luckiest man in the world because I have a wife that speaks life into me. I have a wife that understands who I am, understands my needs, and understands what I need. And she gives that to me 100%. I'm going to tell you, after God, I will not be the man I am today if it wasn't for the wife that God gave me. I can tell you that 100%. That's the way why I treat her the way I do. Why I give her everything that I give her, my love, my attention, everything that I am, I give it to her. Because who I am today after God is because of her. I thank the Lord that he gave me a partner that understands my role as the pastor of the church and respects that. Not somebody that tries to overthrow me and tells me how I need to do things at church, but that leads right next to me and submits when she has to, but also has a strong hand when she needs to. There's a balance. And I'm going to tell you, church, your job as a wife, believe it or not, what you do and what you tell your husband will determine what type of husband you have. If you're always nagging and complaining and telling him everything that he does wrong, what you think you're going to get in return? But if you tell him how much you appreciate him, how much you love him, how much he means to you, what he does for you in the family, how much you appreciate what he does, don't you think that you'll have a different person at home than if you're always nagging and complaining? Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We do it too. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of nagging and complaining. I'm not going to say that we don't do it. Especially, you know, when the wife cooks something you don't want to eat, you know. Then you show up to the house with a bag of McDonald's. Yeah, shots fired, right? Chicken again? Oh, but church, God gave us the perfect example of being a good father. And some people don't understand, but the Bible also says He who loves corrects, right? So when God corrects us, God isn't doing it to be mean. God is correcting us because we need it. We need correction from God. Because if we don't get corrected by God, how will we learn? How will we stop? How will we be better people? I spank my kids, you know, from time to time. And probably I have 30 kids, and altogether maybe 6 times I spanked them in their entire lives. But when I've done it, it's because they need to learn. And it's not like I abuse them. One little, and that's it. It's more of a, dad's going to spank you. Oh, no. But God does that to us all the time. God doesn't physically spank us, but God takes our attention. He seeks our attention. He tells us, hey, you need to stop where you're at and assess the situation and understand that what you're about to do is not pleasing to me. And he corrects us. But the beautiful thing about this is that God corrects us with love. And I can tell you, I've been corrected with love by God so many times. And I'm better for it. God understands that us as humans, this is how we learn. And God is so good to each and every one of us that he always makes sure that after he corrects us, he shows us the right way of doing things. It's not like God smacks us upside the head and doesn't even tell us what we did wrong. I mean, my grandfather, good thing he doesn't have Facebook, so he won't see this. That was the way he used to correct. If you were doing something wrong or whatever, he'd smack you upside the head and keep walking. What was that for? You know what you did. Grandpa's a very old school man. Farmer / restaurant owner and things like that. So his patience is very short. And that's the way he corrected. Smack you around, not even tell you what it was for. Imagine if God corrected us that way. You did something wrong or perhaps you whatever, and God just striked you and didn't tell you what you did wrong and didn't show you how to correct your mistakes. But God corrects with love. And in the middle of the correction, we might not see it that way. But once we pass that, we understand, God, it was necessary for me to go through what I went through. And I'm going to tell you this, church. The season of correcting for First Church of God is over. We went through our correcting season. It's time to bear fruit. It's time to go out and do what God has placed in our hearts and to honor our Father. And how do we honor our Father? Following his commandments, number one, and going out and making disciples of all nations. Going out and being a living testimony to what God has done for you. I'm going to tell you, church, this place is going to explode with what's coming. This place is going to be a place where people are going to walk through those doors and their lives are going to be transformed. Where people are going to hear the word of God and they're going to turn away from their sinful lifestyle and give their heart to Christ. Where men and women will rise up in this place and take charge of the ministry that God has given to them. And I'm going to tell you this morning, church, that if you believe that you have been called by God, and if you affirm your calling of God upon your life, do not let anything or anybody stray you away from that. Do not let any negativity, any old thinking, any way of nothing distract you from what God has given to you. I'm going to tell you this morning, church, things are going to look a lot different. And I've been preaching this for years. But we are opening up to the Holy Spirit to take control in this place. And I'm going to tell you, as long as I am pastor of First Church of God, we will do things the way God wants them to be done here. And there is nothing that will stray me away from the vision of God for this place. I have promised to lead this church with integrity. I have promised to lead this church with transparency. And until now, I have done that. And the day that I can't lead this church with integrity and transparency, that's the day I tell Russ, hey, I'm out of here. Because there is no way that I will stand up here and lead this church with my heart. I will always lead this church with God's heart and the way God wants things to be done here. And if you get upset, that's on you. If you get mad, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really care. Because I owe myself to God. And I talk to the Lord constantly. And I ask God, Lord, place in this church what you know this church needs. Whether that is me, whether that is somebody else, whatever it is, God, I just want your will to be done in this place. I want this place to explode in the spirit. I want this place to know what a true revival is. We are asking for a revival, but I have a question. Do you even know what a revival is? Do you know what it is to have a revival from the Spirit? That is to be transformed by God, to let the Spirit of God come in this place and move, and for you to feel the presence of God. And you feel the presence of God is not just by shouting and jumping around and doing cartwheels and things like that, but it's by submitting to the Lord, by obeying God, by being available for God. We think that being in a revival is screaming and shouting and speaking in tongues. Being in a revival is being obedient to God as well. And we forget that it's an essential part. We want to see people running around and screaming and shouting, but where is the obedience? Where is our follow through with Jesus? Where is the salvation in the middle of the revival? If a revival is coming, that means salvation is coming. And if salvation is coming, that means change is coming. And if change is coming, sanctification is coming. And if sanctification is coming, then the true revival will be in this place. We need to be sanctified for Jesus to move through us. And a lot of people want to skip steps. Well, I'm a man of God and I could be up here and preach. Well, have you been sanctified by God? We need to be holy, for he is holy. And that does not mean that we're not going to make mistakes. God understands that mistakes will be made. If not, Jesus would have never died on the cross. But Jesus died on the cross to prove that even though we make mistakes, we are still children of God. Even though we fall short, we're still children of God. So I'm going to tell you this morning, church. Hold on to your calling. Believe in God and watch how God works. I have struggled for months with myself and with the Spirit. I said, Lord, let me understand that I'm on the right path. I said, God, there's times where I feel like perhaps I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Not talking about here. I'm talking about in the vision that we're carrying the church. And every time I feel that way, God shows me why he has us where he has us. And I'm going to tell you, church, freedom is coming to this place. The church has been oppressed and has been in a box, and there's been limitations on what we can do, on who we can use, who we can't use. But God is opening that lid. And I'm going to tell you this morning, church, freedom is here. The freedom of God has come into this place, and we will not be oppressed no longer by evil mentalities. We will not be oppressed no longer by people that just want what's best for them and not what's best for God. And I'm going to tell you this morning, church, as long as we are in the will of God, standing with God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will be just fine. As long as we speak the truth in this place and understand what the Word of God says and what the Word of God demands from us, we will be just fine. The moment we stray away from the Word of God is where we are in trouble. And so far, we are A-OK. Amen? a different view from up here. That's why I like being down there now. But I want you guys to enjoy today. I want that the husbands, you know, I like to cook, I like to grill, so that's not a burden to me. But that the husbands can feel appreciated today. Appreciate your husband. Kids, appreciate your dad. Because you don't know if you're going to have him tomorrow. I honor my dad in everything that I can. Because I don't know the day that I'm going to get that call that my dad's no longer here. And we don't think about that. You know, when I was small, I thought my dad was going to live forever. And I'm starting to realize as I'm getting older and he's getting older and life is happening that that's not the case. One day I'm going to be on this earth unless I leave first without my dad. So I'm going to tell you, church, you that have your parents alive, call them. Honor them. Make sure that they know how much they mean to you and how much you mean to them. Today I'm going to see, amen. Today I'm going to see if either my dad comes here or I go down there, but I'm going to make sure I see my dad today. And I'm going to tell you, church, as a father that I am, the best thing I have on this world after my relationship with God is my relationship with my kids. That's the one thing that no one can take away from you. I can die today and my kids die 50 years after. And 100 years can pass and those bones will still say that they're my kids. So I'm going to tell you this morning, honor your kids. And kids, honor your dad. There's a lot of sacrifices that us as dads make to make sure that you live the life that you live. And to make sure that even if it's a small amount, but we give you what we are able to give you. So honor that. Good dads don't come around all the time. Amen? So let us stand and let us pray.